on this Sunday night, campaign in crisis. As a defiant Donald Trump heads into tonight's crucial debate, party leaders look for signs of remorse after his demeaning comments about women in a leaked tape. As Hillary Clinton's campaign says she's ready for anything tonight. Gunned down, a community in mourning after two beloved police officers are shot and killed. The suspect finally surrendering after an all-night standoff. Flooding, disaster, Hurricane Matthew and its torrential rain leave thousands trapped in North Carolina, leading to dramatic rescues after a final deadly strike. And the art of living. Their memories may be fading, but the artistic side of these seniors is thriving, giving their lives new meaning. Nightly News begins now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening, and to say that there's a lot on the line for Donald Trump tonight in this second presidential debate would be an understatement. After a weekend that saw dozens of prominent Republicans abandon their nominee, the big question tonight is how will he handle himself on this stage in St. Louis? President Obama this afternoon called Trump an insecure person who, quote, pumps himself up by putting other people down. And with reports of turmoil inside the Trump campaign swirling, the candidate today fought back on Twitter, accusing his critics of being self-righteous hypocrites. We begin tonight with Hallie Jackson.
A defiant Donald Trump on his plane to St. Louis. This photo, a tableau of a campaign in crisis. Next to Trump, party head Reince Priebus, devastated and very frank about the fallout now facing the GOP nominee, according to sources close to Priebus, after this 2005 audio surfaced from Access Hollywood, a program owned by NBC Universal.
I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy.
Priebus canceling public appearances, raising questions about how long the RNC will support its nominee. Instead, it's Rudy Giuliani, just over Trump's shoulder here, who's had his back publicly in a series of combative interviews today.
You're saying that the words are wrong. How about the actions?
Well, the actions would be even worse if they were actions. See, talk and actions are two different things.
What Trump is describing in that tape is sexual assault.
That's what he's talking about.
The one behind the camera, campaign manager Kellyanne Conway, in another picture, all smiles, batting down reports she's considering quitting, texting NBC News, what a crock. Mike Pence, on the phone with Trump here, at a football game today, and attending church, telling Trump he's praying for him, according to sources who spoke with the Indiana governor, making it clear he wants genuine contrition from his running mate tonight. Other Republicans echoing that as they consider whether to withdraw their support.
I don't think Bill Clinton is his solution. Going up to Bill Clinton doesn't solve his problem. That's the past. People want him to talk about the future and deal with what's happening in the present. And that starts with, again, being humble and apologetic.
Trump dropping new hints on Twitter he'll hit Bill Clinton's past indiscretions, with millions of Americans watching tonight, including this voter painting his own bleak picture of 2016.
All I can say is that this is going to be the saddest election in United States history. We can either vote for a liar or we can vote for a dirty grandpa that can't keep his mouth shut.
And while it's still a question of whether and how Trump will go after Bill Clinton, I'm told by a senior advisor he absolutely will bring up leaked emails which suggest Hillary Clinton essentially privately expressed support for open borders. It's something the Clinton campaign has not commented on directly, instead pivoting to pin blame on Russia for the hack. The other certainty tonight, Kate, the immense pressure Trump faces just hours from now. Kate?
Hallie Jackson out there. Hallie, thanks so much. And while there is little doubt that Trump's comments about women will be a prominent theme in tonight's debate, Hillary Clinton may well have to face more questions, as Hallie mentioned, from Trump about her husband's relationships with other women. Her aides say Clinton is ready for anything. Andrea Mitchell has more tonight on the Clinton campaign.
Hillary Clinton heading to tonight's debate along with her debate prep team. Even former longtime aide Philippe Reines, who has been playing Donald Trump in Clinton's mock debates. Reports say the Trump tape will be a focus early in the debate.
Hello, how are you?
Potentially sparking a response aimed at Bill Clinton's infidelities. Aides say Clinton is prepared for anything Trump throws at her.
Obviously, the Clintons had a tough time in their marriage 20 years ago. This was litigated a lot. I don't think voters are interested in litigating it again. If Donald Trump wants to have a discussion about Hillary Clinton's record of standing up for women, we welcome that.
The mood in the Clinton camp about what top aides are calling Trump's downward spiral, not far removed from SNL's parody about the Trump tape.
It made me feel just horrible and very depressed. I'm sorry for it. It is a very, very sad day for our country and for all women, minus one.
Tonight's debate stage, intimate. A town hall with 40 undecided voters asking questions. Two moderators interjecting with issues raised online. A risky format if either candidate gets combative. They could be rebuked by the voters on stage.
The entire election comes down to tonight. You have a group of undecided voters, real people, just like the people in the audience, who want to hear answers, they want to hear policy, and they probably don't want to see these candidates fight.
Even before the Trump open mic tape emerged, in key battleground states in our new poll out today, Clinton leads by double digits in Pennsylvania among likely voters and by 3 points in all-important Florida.
Aides are calling tonight's uncharted territory, not only because of the format, but because of the Trump tape. Clinton does plan to say that that tape points to a pattern of behavior by Trump, like his treatment of the former Miss Universe, Alicia Machado. Kate?
Andrea Mitchell tonight. Andrea, thanks so much. And a note about tonight's debate. I'll be hosting coverage live on NBCNews.com along with Andrea Mitchell, Hallie Jackson, and Kristen Welker. That's at 9 Eastern. Or you can flip over to MSNBC for coverage led by Brian Williams, Rachel Maddow, Chris Matthews, and Chuck Todd. In Southern California, a standoff that lasted all night ended this morning with the surrender of a suspect in the shooting deaths of two police officers in Palm Springs. Tonight, a community and its police department are mourning the deaths of those officers, one just starting out, the other nearing retirement. Steve Patterson has our report.
A night of sorrow in Palm Springs as the community mourns the deaths of two police officers killed in the line of duty. Fellow officers, in a final salute and show of respect, escorted the bodies of the officers from the hospital to the morgue, with family joining the procession.
Thanks for everything they're doing for us. Thank you.
Community members lined the streets and firefighters saluted from overpasses.
Please move down here.
Saturday afternoon, police say officers were responding to a domestic disturbance call. The suspect opened fire, killing the two officers, wounding a third. After a 12-hour standoff, the suspect surrendered.
When he emerged, he was wearing soft body armor, and he had a number of high-capacity magazines on his person.
The suspect, identified as John Felix, 26 years old, police say had a history of arrests. Tonight, a memorial for the two officers. 63-year-old Jose Vega was a 35-year veteran and father of eight. He was just 2 months away from retirement.
Just a real genuine, nice guy, you know, and he was always there to help.
27-year-old Leslie Zarebny joined the force just a year and a half ago. She recently returned to duty after giving birth to a girl just 4 months ago.
And to witness her husband kiss her on the forehead for the last time, it's tough.
Two officers on the opposite ends of their careers giving the ultimate sacrifice. Steve Patterson, NBC News, Palm Springs, California.
We turn to the south now, where the winds and the rain from deadly and destructive Hurricane Matthew have now stopped. But in North Carolina tonight, they're in the middle of a flood emergency that's likely to play out for days. Miguel Almaguer is there tonight again and reports on the latest.
Today across North Carolina, heart-pounding rescues. Nearly 1,000 in 24 hours, those trapped by rising floodwaters plucked to safety. The U.S. death toll from Hurricane Matthew, at least 17.
It got out of hand pretty quick.
Nearly half of the fatalities are from North Carolina. Howard Whitfield is cut off from his daughter, Summer.
Well, she's panicking now. You know, she's all to pieces.
With at least four still missing, thousands are thankful to be alive.
There could be some back roads where we had people swept away, and I'm praying we're not going to find that to be.
After nearly a foot of rain fell in some cities, historic flood waters are swamping neighborhoods well inland.
I've been trying to get to my house for about the past hour and a half. Every road I've been on has looked just exactly like this.
So much water, dams have breached. Some could fail. The threat is fluid.
We must stay home, stay safe during this process. There are very dangerous conditions currently ongoing. We still have roadways that are flooded.
After pounding the coast, Matthew ripped apart piers and crumbled roads.
Oh my goodness. This is amazing.
Freeways are underwater, cracked into pieces or buried in debris. Some evacuation orders are still in place.
We don't really know what day we can return to see what's going on.
With more than 1 million still in the dark, water, sewage, and gas are out in many areas. In Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas, a massive cleanup. The damage may top $6 billion. But tonight, rivers and dams are still swollen. And these daring rescues may not be over.
The rain from Matthew may be gone, but it's now all pouring into low-lying communities and homes downstream. Officials say rivers could burst their banks in the coming days, and they also have a close eye on all the dams that could also fail. Kate?
Miguel Almaguer. Miguel, such a tough situation. Thank you. Beyond the physical destruction of Hurricane Matthew, a reminder tonight that people in the storm zone also need to be aware of potential health problems that can come up in the aftermath of a hurricane. Dr. John Torres has more on that tonight.
Cleaning up and clearing out. The aftermath of Hurricane Matthew is leaving more than just flooding, debris, and power outages. Doctors say health concerns are now a number one priority.
When we came in, it was already starting to back up. We're expecting just large volumes of people.
Emergency room physicians at Halifax Health Medical Center in Daytona Beach were inundated with patients the day after the storm, when they say people are most at risk for injuries, sickness, even death.
What are you most concerned about after a hurricane?
After hurricane, I think it's really going to be injuries as people go out and start clearing debris, approaching power lines that may be down, and trying to restore life to normal.
And as people line up to buy generators to power up their homes, they need to watch out for carbon monoxide poisoning.
It can be lethal in just a few minutes.
Already, at least 14 people were treated in Jacksonville after they used a generator too close to the building.
The generator is absolutely a lifesaver, but it's like anything else that's man-made. If it's used incorrectly or improperly, the results can be lethal.
After a hurricane, one of the big concerns, standing water. And where there's standing water, mosquitoes can breed. And that adds more to the concern over the Zika virus.
The eggs hatch into larvae in just a few days. So what can you do to protect yourself? If you evacuated, don't rush to come home. Make sure the area is safe. When using a generator, keep it outside, at least 25 to 50 feet away from the house. Protect yourself from mosquitoes. Use bug spray and get rid of standing water. And beware of fallen trees where downed power lines can be hidden.
Take each event one day at a time, sometimes 1 hour at a time. Don't let this overwhelm you.
Staying healthy and safe as life returns to normal. Dr. John Torres, NBC News, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Still ahead tonight, after the leaked tape of Donald Trump's demeaning comments about women, a groundswell of women sharing their own experiences with sexual assault. Also improving the lives of people dealing with memory loss by bringing out their artistic side. Donald Trump's comments about women in 2005 haven't just ignited political discussions all weekend. They've caused a lot of family conversations around the dinner table and a whole lot of sharing on social media. One tweet from an author triggered an avalanche of deeply personal comments. A warning to parents, some of this content may not be appropriate for children.
It started with Kelly Oxford's appeal on Twitter. Women, tweet me your first assaults. They aren't just stats. I'll go first. Man on a bus grabs me. I'm 12, she writes. With the hashtag NotOK, Oxford posted several personal experiences of sexual assault. That's when the floodgates opened. In the initial hours, 50 responses per minute. One by one, survivors of sexual assault added their voices.
At church camp, male counselor offers to hold my hand, reaches into my pocket, and grabs my vagina. I was 12.
A 60-year-old man
grabbed me and tried to French kiss me to show a 28-year-old man how to, quote, say goodnight to a lady. I was 13.
Male classmate flips my skirt up, and I scream and slug him. Mr. Teacher tells me it's not okay to make these things up. Hashtag not okay.
Now 30, Kimberly Roth says she was compelled to share her story.
This is as an opportunity to start thinking about how we teach our children how to behave.
1 in 6 women report being victims of sexual assault.
For a lot of people, it's the opportunity to take a little bit of the power back by saying that I'm going to talk about my story. I'm going to receive support from some the public, receive it from other people, and also realizing that I'm not the only one that this happens to.
The strength and support in numbers even reached Maryam Aftab several thousand miles away in Pakistan.
You know, it's not okay when you have so many stories of harassment that you can't decide which one to tweet under 140 characters.
140 characters multiplied over a million times, stories so painfully private and collectively powerful.
Kelly Oxford tells us, yes, this moment in the election opened this discussion, but the discovery that so many women are fed up and willing to speak publicly about their trauma is bigger than any political campaign, she said. And up next, more and more threats being reported from people dressed up as clowns. AT&T said today it is halting the exchange program for Samsung Galaxy Note 7 phones. That program was started last month when Samsung announced a global recall after a series of incidents in which Note 7 batteries overheated or even caught fire. AT&T said it will no longer exchange the phones for new Note 7s after recent reports of similar problems with replacement phones. There is increasing concern tonight about clowns, or at least people dressing up in clown costumes and engaging in scary or menacing behavior. This has been going on since late summer and has led some communities to crack down on what's come to be known as clowning. We get more tonight from Kristen Dahlgren.
In Sterling Heights, Michigan, 7-year-old Justin Bueller shows what happened when he says someone dressed as a clown grabbed him.
He had, like, red hair and a red nose. He dragged the knife on my arm slowly.
The latest in a spate of clown scares across the country.
My husband just spotted a clown in back of the woods.
The frenzy started in the Carolinas in August.
A clown, last seen wearing a red nose and all white clothing in the woods with a brown box, asking for kids if they want ice cream.
The sightings and threats spread to more than 24 states. In Newburgh, New York, residents spotted a clown on a bridge with what turned out to be a BB gun. At Penn State, hundreds swarmed in what they called a clown hunt. And after dozens of calls, the Orem, Utah Police Department's Facebook page now posts laws about shooting clowns. While in New Haven, Connecticut, schools have banned clown costumes after these threats showed up on Instagram. It even came up at a White House press briefing.
Obviously, you know, this is a situation that local law enforcement authorities take quite seriously.
Legitimate clowns now say they fear for their businesses and lives. While the man many see as responsible for our fear of clowns, horror book-turned-movie It author Stephen King tweeted, "Time to cool down the clown hysteria. A nation on alert over clowns that are anything but funny." Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News, New York.
And up next, bringing out the inner artist in these seniors and why it's so important. Finally tonight, the words "granny does graffiti" suggest a kind of senior renegade streak. And in a way, that's exactly what an unusual art program in Denver is all about, bringing out the artistic potential in people dealing with memory loss and, in so doing, opening up a new window in their lives. We get more tonight from Joe Fryer.
That blue and white and orange blur vigorously racing up the walkway is Mary Good, a grandmother of 35 who loves to leave her mark.
I really love to draw.
Usually with a paintbrush or pencil.
When we were kids, she would write our names on our lunch sacks, and it was always in a very artistic manner.
I am not expecting the Mona Lisa, okay? I'm not expecting a masterpiece.
Lately, she's flexing those art muscles through the Johnson Adult Day program, which helps those battling memory loss. Mary has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
My daughters brought me down here because they could see a sadness that I had.
Through art, her sadness is erased. But who could have imagined?
Well, what did you marry?
Her next canvas would be a wall.
Keep going. Is that enough?
Demographically speaking, these seniors do not fit the profile of a graffiti artist.
Let's see, that's too big.
Yet armed with water-based spray paint, they're defying stereotypes. It's a new idea at the Access Art Gallery in Denver called Granny Does Graffiti.
What's it like seeing your mom do this?
Oh, it's so fun.
The idea came from Damon McLeese, whose mother had dementia.
And my belief is that by introducing something new, sometimes that opens a different channel or a different pathway in the brain, and we get a glimpse of the person that's still there.
For Mary, her initials, MSG, trigger thoughts of her high school, which had the same initials.
It's also my school was Mount St. Gertrude.
It's just doing so much more for her than just plain old painting, you know? It's bringing back memories.
I think this is a lot of fun.
Which means Mary can continue to leave her mark. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Denver.
Granny Does Graffiti. That is NBC Nightly News for this Sunday. Up next, football night in America. New York Giants taking on the Green Bay Packers. Lester Holt will be here tomorrow. I'm Kate Snow reporting from New York, and I will see you all week long on MSNBC. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.